wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. It is a must for you, like it or hate it. That makes me mad for anyone to tell me what I must do. This is the oft-repeated expression of men, women, and youth the world around. Why is this so universally heard? Whence came this spirit and these feelings of resentment? Let us face the honest fact. And it is not something learned in school, but from the very cradle, all mankind is moved by that spirit. The truth is, it is born in every babe. What makes that baby cry that way? The parents detect. That's a cry of temper. He wants something. If he can't get it, he is mad. But it's not time for his bottle. He will have to cry it out. To yield to that cry reaps a spoiled baby, to remain that way for life, until he meets his conqueror to master that spirit of self-will. Being born in each one of us, we must trace it to its root, our parentage. Our family tree brings us to our first parents in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. God revealed to them what they were free to do, and then what they must not do, and he attached to it the punishment if they disobeyed God. Hold it there, preacher. That makes me think of myself. It's hard for me to take for a doctor, a governor, or a judge to tell me what I must do. And when he adds the penalty if I fail to comply, I just boil with bitter resentment. And to these words we must each one agree, because we're all little atoms. Our very inside feelings bear testimony to the truth of the Bible as it tells us where all this came from. What did Adam do? He allowed his Satan-deceived wife Eve to coax him to do what looked so inviting for them to do, even when it defied God's must, as he thought they could bypass God's warning. And then it happened. Man became a fallen, ruined creature, separated from God, and as his life was found in obedient communion with God, by going his own way of self-will, he found death. He was not only driven out of Eden's fair garden, but separated from God by his sin. You and I must trace our parentage to that sinful and rebellious pair. They had children only after their fall. So we were all born in sin with that rebellious spirit of defiant self-will. No wonder we feel it inside us and show it to all who know us. Because of that natural feeling, both politicians and preachers too, avoid approaching people with any must. And even doctors shun to tell their patients the or else if their must is not followed. This gives the faithful Bible preacher an audience of spoiled babies. What a challenge! Will he cater to such or be a true servant of Christ? Paul said, if I should please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. I stand with Paul as a true servant of Christ to declare to one and all God's message just as it is, with no apology or sweet words, like it or hate it. God has our good at heart, and so his book, the Bible, is a book of musts, and with these are his or else's. Wise parents, with a future good of their baby in view, know they must subdue that determination to have his own way. And God, who has our good in this life and in the life to come at heart, knows that sin-fallen men need first a Savior to save them from their ruined state. And the Bible insists we must be saved, for we are all lost with a sinful nature from our father Adam, and a sinful life by our own ungodly deeds. Adam chose to defy God and obey Satan, and when we were of age to choose, we determined to go our own way and live like we wanted to, God or no God. We were like a wild colt racing across the prairie, a reckless liability, but with great potentialities, but only when broken, conquered, and brought to humble submission. Who can put a bridle on that wild colt and move it right or left at the touch of the bridle bit? That is a challenge. My parable at once applies itself. You are, and I was, that self-willed colt. The Bible describes one of them, Saul of Tarsus. He was so self-willed, he even defied the world kingdom of his day. He murdered Christians, and he stood responsible for stoning to death Stephen. If one had said to him, Saul, don't you know the law of Rome that no Jew can put a man to death? That wild colt would have replied, what do I care for what anyone tells me I can't do? That Paul was a wicked sinner, selfish, Christ-hating, and God-defiant. He certainly needed to be saved from his sins and changed. It was a must, and so it is with all, right? But he also needed to meet someone great enough to conquer him. This double need of Saul and of each of us is met in one person, the only one gracious enough to save and change us, and mighty enough to conquer and subdue us. That one is God's Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. The what? The Lord. For he is Lord of all, and each human must either be subdued by him or crushed by him in eternal judgment, as the Bible says of him. Whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Broken in confessed submission, surrendering to him as Lord and Master, or crushed by him in the eternal and God-appointed, or else. On the Damascus Road, Saul met his conqueror, and with his defiant head now in the dust at the feet of Jesus Christ the Lord, he cried, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Instantly, he found in Jesus his Savior, and he was changed from being that brutal Saul, destroying lives and wrecking homes, to become Paul, the humble and faithful servant of Christ. To the salvation of souls and the transforming of lives, the blessing of families and of churches. This happened when Saul met his conqueror, and he surrendered to Jesus Christ the Lord. That is just what every man needs, a Savior to trust and a Lord to yield to. That's why the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus, that is, he's the Savior, as Lord, the conqueror, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it adds, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. On another occasion, the Lord Jesus met a bewildered ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus. He ruled and told others what they must do, but no one dared to tell him what he must do. No one was big enough to lord it over him. That night, all alone, he met Jesus, the Lord of all, to hear as his first words to him, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And the Lord added the or else, even banishment from God's kingdom. What a knockout blow. Nicodemus was first stunned, saying, how can these things be? Then, hearing the Lord Jesus announce himself as the Savior for him, and for all who would trust themselves to him to save them, our Lord again added his or else, saying, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What happened to that ruler? He yielded to Jesus as his Lord, and so trusted him as his Savior who died to save us, that we see Nicodemus with Joseph of Arimathea lovingly bury the body of their Lord and Savior in anticipation of his certain resurrection. Our Lord's or else moved him with fear, and his must brought that ruler to his knees in humble submission. May it do that for you, my neighbor. God's must and his or else. These are not a brutal club he holds over us, but warning us to have the very best. He both invites and warns us as he reveals to us his Son, Jesus Christ, to save and change us and to subdue and conquer us. Neighbor, I cannot bear to see you left out of God's best. So I plead with you to surrender to Jesus as your Lord and trust in him as your Savior. Let your confession be, Lord Jesus, I will be thine. To obey thee as my Lord and to trust thee as my Savior. Amen.